Yeah. fear not.
Fear not.
Refuge for the fallen souls. My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, I am awakened to consciousness. Although I am only 10 months old, for this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the friend of all fallen souls, there is no way to express my gratitude but to pray with folded hands. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, intelligence and forgetfulness are both supplied by the super soul sitting with the individual soul within the body. When he sees that a conditioned soul is very serious about getting out of the clutches of the material influence, the Supreme Lord gives intelligence internally as super soul and externally as the spiritual master, or as an incarnation of the Personality of Godhead himself. He helps by speaking instructions such as Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is always seeking the opportunity to reclaim the fallen souls to his abode, the kingdom of God. We should always feel very much obliged to the Personality of Godhead, for he is always anxious to bring us into the happy condition of eternal life. There is no sufficient means to repay the Personality of Godhead for his act of benediction. Therefore, we can simply feel gratitude and pray to the Lord with folded hands. This prayer of the child in the womb may be questioned by some atheistic people. How can a child pray in such a nice way in the womb of his mother? Everything is possible by the grace of the Lord. The child is put into such a precarious condition externally, but internally he is the same, and the Lord is there. By the transcendental energy of the Lord, everything is possible. Om Gyanam Jivitandrasya Gyanam Jaya Shadakaya Chakshurum Vidhitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadahi Svatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudhatramanam Shri Guru Naishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sarvajatavam Sarvana Rupamitam Sajivam Sarvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sarvana Shri Krishna Parama Sindhu Vinayam Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopinathanta Radha Kanta Namaste
Advaita Gadadhara Srinivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, I am awakened to consciousness, although I am only 10 months old. For this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the friend of all fallen souls, there is no way to express my gratitude but to pray with folded hands. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 31, entitled The Movements of Living Entities, text number 18. I am extremely grateful to be with all of you once again. Shishirata Partasarathi's extraordinary temple here in New Delhi. Thank you for being with us. Special gratitude to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj for inspiring such an incredible temple and community and for giving me a chance to serve you. Hare Krishna. In this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila speaking to his mother, describing how the living entity, due to particular karma or by the transcendental grace of the Lord, moves from one birth to the next, to the next, to the next. And here we find a description of a man in the human species coming together with a woman in human species. And the little Atma, the spirit soul, traveling by the vehicle of a male semen into the woman's ovum, and gradually through that combination, the little tiny body begins to form. And it describes at which particular stages of development the head grows, fingers grow, the various organs start developing. And by the time of 6 months, there's quite full awareness and consciousness that starts to develop more and more. And that situation within the womb of a mother, Srila Prabhupada elaborates, very difficult. Krishna has created so perfectly that He puts us in situations that we can survive. That wherever there's life, there's the presence of the Atma, of the soul, and each soul is a part and parcel of Krishna. Satchi Anand, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. But under the veil of illusion or maya, we forget our true nature and identify with the external existence of the grossness of our bodies. Now, how is it possible to survive? Srila Prabhupada explains that
We cannot live underwater for years at a time. But that is a very relative thing. Because the population of fish and other aquatic plants is actually greater than the population of living beings on land. The vast portion of this planet Earth is water. Recently, I was giving a series of lectures on the Srimad Bhagavat in the Caribbean islands called the Bahamas. And I was speaking morning and evening. And somebody asked me if I wanted to see what was under the sea. So, to see what's under the sea sounds quite logical. So they took me on a little boat, and they put this mask on me, and then stuck something in my mouth. It's this tube where I could actually go underwater and breathe through the tube, because the tube was above the water. Here I am swimming around the Caribbean Sea, trying to see what I was going to see. And looking above the water, all you see is the surface of a sea. Looks nice, there's a lot of waves, and the sun is dancing, it's raining on the surface. But then I just, with the mask, went underwater, there were thousands of fish. And each one, their colors were incredible. There were golden fish and yellow fish and black fish and purple fish and green fish and all sorts of other fish. And their colors were iridescent. They were, in the 60s, we would say psychedelic. It was so bright. No artist could possibly make such colors like this. And they were all swimming around, and there were some fish that were swimming alone, and other fish that were swimming, thousands of them together. And they knew just exactly where to go and what to do. And then I was looking at the plants. This was called floral reef coral reef. Seen such colors. These plants are alive. Some of them are really moving in a mystical way, and they're purple, and they're green, and they're yellow, and they're red, and there's millions of them. And I'm swimming around looking at this stuff. And from a little distance, there was a shark. Suddenly, you wake up to how beautiful things really are. The real beauty of life is to take shelter of Krishna in every situation. And then because you're only underwater a few inches, and then with the mask, I tried something. Half the mask I had over the surface of water, and half the mask under, and I would just side was just a surface. And then I just cast my glance down, and there was this incredible world of practically infinite life and color and action and excitement. And some of the fish were hunting for food in the form of different plants, and some were hunting for each other. And for so many fish, you know, there had to be some romantic type of relationships. And I was thinking, isn't this the way the world is? Any situation that we have, if we just see it by what appears on the surface, we're not really getting what's there.
But if we look beneath the surface, we can see the incredible reality. Beneath the surface of every situation for a devotee is Krishna, the cause of all causes, the source of everything that exists. In this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada is telling us how Krishna, he's always seeking the opportunity to reclaim the fallen souls to his abode, the kingdom of God. And therefore, if we actually see that reality, then Krishna's grace is in every situation, beneath the surface of the appearances of the dualities of this world. Because everything in this world is going to vanish. All that's real, nashato, pratyekaho, is the truth that Krishna's waiting for us. And if we just turn to Krishna with gratitude, then Krishna will reveal himself to us. And he will reveal how to transform whatever situation it is, however inconceivable, into the most beautiful blessing. So the Lord Kapila gave, you know, at one time he was in the body of his mother, Devahuti, and he's telling, the baby's telling the mother what happens in the womb. And he's explaining the conditioned souls in this human form of life.
Who could live like that? Srila Prabhupada says, even
a grown person, we could not survive in such a tangible situation, cramped up. And where's the air to breathe? There's no ventilation. You know, sometimes we need the windows open. Maybe let's tell the mother to open the windows. Just cramped in that little situation. But it survives. Because Krishna has given it the power to survive that. And similarly, Krishna gives that little baby the power to remember its lies and flash and to realize the mistakes and the sins and the illusions and to pray to Krishna with a grateful heart. Srila Prabhupada explains that this may seem to a materialistic intelligence to be impossible, but by the grace of the Lord, everything is possible. If we go deeply into any phenomenon of this entire creation, everything's impossible. We only consider it possible because we just see it happening all the time. But everything's an incredible miracle that Krishna makes possible. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum nalgayatehi. By the grace of Lord Madhava, or his divine beloved representative, the spiritual master, a blind person can see. A donkey person could speak eloquent poetry. A lay person could cross the Himalayan mountains by the power of grace. That same grace that is the power behind everything. Krishna tells us in the Gita, I am the strength of the strong, the ability in man, the intelligence of the intelligent. To be humble is simply to be honest about reality. But everything is by Krishna's grace. Prakriti kriyamana nibuna karma is aham karma. In a bewildered state, we think I'm the doer of the activities. But actually, everything within this creation is being carried out by nature. Krishna is the controller of all control. Material nature is working under his supervision. So Krishna gives a certain type of spiritual awakening to the little baby in the womb, just prior to the baby's coming out of the womb, in that very difficult situation. The baby isn't really being distracted by any types of entertainment. It's not that the baby in that cramped up little situation can turn on a television set. Find out what's happening in the world and forget about the problems. The baby has nothing to do. Nobody to talk to. In that situation, the baby is very receptive to talk to Krishna. Sumatam Sarvabhutanam, who's our ultimately best friend and well-wisher. Few verses, we find this powerful natural air pushes the baby out of the womb. And then as soon as the baby comes out and looks at the little body he has and understands the different potentials he or she has, and then starts hearing from them, you know, the things of this world and the people of this world, forget all of that. But that potential is within all of us. It's who we are and who we've always been. Before our birth, we're taught the lesson of gratitude.
and taking shelter of Sharanagati, surrendering and taking shelter to the grace of the Lord, which is all we have. It's the first lesson of life. And Krishna's telling us, all the scriptures are telling us, the gurus and the sadhus are telling us. But we are so inclined to be distracted, to forget. The world is conquered by Maya's weapons of mass distraction. Everywhere. And in this particular verse, what's emphasized most is the characteristic of gratitude. Tateva Kampamsa Sutradikshanana, this beautiful verse of Lord Brahma, he knows how creation works because he's creator. And the way this creation works is good times and bad times, they will come to all of us. But when with a grateful heart and folded hands we can offer our obeisances and take shelter of the Lord, however inconceivable the difficulties and challenges may be, that's all that really matters. Doesn't matter so much what we've done in the past. Doesn't matter so much what predicament we're going through in the present. All that really matters is with a grateful heart and folded palms, am I the Lord? To be his loving servant, taking shelter, knowing that there's definitely no other shelter. In this world, our tendency is we take shelter of what Srila Prabhupada and what Srimad Bhagavat calls fallible soldiers. The police, the government, the army, our mothers, our fathers, our friends, our own abilities, our intelligence, heaters, air conditioners, all these things we try to take shelter of. Medicine, doctors. On the physical and mental level, we have to deal with these situations. But ultimately, there's only one shelter. And whatever's happened in the past, whoever, if we just take shelter of the Lord with a grateful heart, Krishna will purify us. That beautiful verse from the Ramayana, or Vibhishan comes to take shelter of Ram after having a very serious argument with his brother Ravana. And Ravana was about to kill Vibhishan, but he didn't because he killed his brother. Vibhishan rejected Ravana. And he was powerful. And you read about how Hanuman jumped across the ocean, or Vibhishan just effortlessly floated across the ocean in the air with some of his ministers. And he was huge. And he said he wanted to take shelter of Ram. So Sugriva and the other monkey soldiers, they told Ram, he wants to take shelter of you, Ram. He's the all-knowing Lord. Vedaham sanati tani bhagatamani charjuna. The Supreme Lord knows everything, past, present, and future, and he knows every thought, every word, every action of every living being, past, present, and future. It's all knowing. But yet, in his natural loving relation with his devotees, Lord Sri Ram asks all the others, what do you think I should do? And so we and the others were saying we should kill this man, or we should punish him, torture him, or reject him. We cannot allow him. He's Ravana's brother. They went on and on. Ram said, Hanuman, he said, I think we should accept him as our friend and one of our family.
because I heard his voice and I saw his face, and I believe he's completely honest. And Ram said, yes, what Hanuman's saying is true. And Sugriva and the others, they were outraged, because they had to run this army. Sugriva was the commander-in-chief. He said, no, we can't do this. Blood is very thick in a person. He may have had an argument with his brother, but ultimately he's his younger brother. And in the most difficult time, when we need him the most, undoubtedly he's going to take shelter of his brother. And he's going to create havoc for us. We must reject him. Sri Ram spoke. He said, anyone, whoever they may be, who wants with a sincere and grateful heart, says, my Lord, I am yours. I will give that person shelter and protection for the rest of eternity. In front of all of you, I declare this vow that anyone, even if Ravana were to come to me today and say, my Lord, I am yours, I would give him all protection forevermore. Bring Vibhishan. Sugriva started crying, bowed down and said, my Lord, you are all merciful. We will immediately bring Vibhishan. That is Krishna. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. Because ultimately that is the purpose of all religion. To surrender to the Lord. As this little baby is doing in the womb with a grateful heart. That is the purpose of our sadhana. That is the purpose of the satsang, the association that we have. It's the purpose of our temples. It's the purpose of the scriptures. It's the purpose of everything. Now we are just about to embark on the December book distribution marathon. Gita Jayanti is about this time. And New Delhi is the topmost place in Lord Brahma's universe. Distribution of Sri Prabhupada's books. Enthusiasm and determination. And whenever I come to New Delhi, the happiest time of the year is December. Devotees are surrendering more during this month, it seems. And they're working together in their surrender. Because to work together with other people who just may have false egos, that takes a lot of surrender. Srila Prabhupada said, in his last days, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate with each other. You really have to surrender to Krishna with a grateful heart to cooperate properly. And that's why there's so many causes of conflict, to give us a chance to actually surrender for the higher purpose. So please understand, when you're out there distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, we're giving people Prabhupada's devotional ecstasies, and Prabhupada's devotional ecstasies is Krishna's grace. Srila Prabhupada writes here that the Lord comes in so many ways, and he helps by, the Lord is always seeking the opportunity to reclaim the fallen souls to his abode. So book distribution or preaching in general is just the most blessed opportunity as the servant of the servant to assist the Lord in his great mission
of attracting people back to his eternal abode.
Somehow or other, whether it's in the streets of Delhi or anywhere else in the world, where people are so much obsessed and possessed by their material desires and their needs and their problems and their so-called happiness and distress, when we put a book in their hand, we're just bringing them right back to reality. Sometimes they don't like that, and sometimes they do. We're bringing people back to the focus. Like that little, they're all like little children in the womb trying to struggle and find some happiness in the womb. And then Krishna awakens in their heart memory of who he is, and with grateful hearts they offer prayers. So we want to give that people that reconnection with Krishna. And we want to be that ourselves. Today is the disappearance day of one very great Vaishnava, Narahari Sarakar. And it's very appropriate on the subject of today's class that I was asked to say something just a few minutes ago about Narahari Sarakar. So with your permission, I won't go too long because no one told me my class is supposed to end, so I don't feel responsible. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a beautiful story where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, every year when he was in Puri, the devotees from Bengal would come to meet him, and he would greet them in the Ganga, sometimes in Narendra Sarovar, sometimes on the Grand Road in front of Prataparuja's palace. He would embrace them and give them garlands and give them sandalwood, and he would kirtan with them, bring them back to his home, and arrange for prasad, accommodation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was serving every devotee so personally and intimately. And they would stay for about 4 months. And when they were leaving, he would say goodbye to each one of them so personally and intimately. And there was a group of devotees that would come from Shikanda, which is a very simple, beautiful village, not too far from Navadvip in Bengal. And there were three very prominent devotees from Shikanda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave each one of them a particular instruction to dedicate their life to. First he spoke to Mukunda, he said, you should earn material and spiritual wealth. Then he turned to Raghunandan and said, you should worship the deity in the temple. And then he turned to Narahari Sarakar and said, you should live with the devotees and preach. And Srila Prabhupada explains, to understand these instructions and understand the dynamics of their positions in society and their relationships with each other. Mukunda Sarakar was the elder brother, and he was an Ayurvedic physician. In fact, he was the doctor for the Shah, for the ruler, the Mughal ruler of that place. And he was a good doctor. And he had a family. His son was Raghunandan, and his younger brother was Narahari Sarakar. So for those who are in the Grihastha life, the way to perfection, he was explaining, at least for someone in the position where you have an occupation, is you earn material and spiritual wealth. Yukta Vairagya. There's no harm in having a job and making money, as long as we understand Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, everything is the property of Krishna. My home is Krishna's home. My family members are Krishna's children.
My abilities are Krishna's abilities. Everything is Krishna's. And therefore, to use everything, not with me in the center to enjoy, but to use everything to please Krishna, to serve Krishna, to help other people love Krishna. In this way, material and spiritual, the two become unified in bhakti. Bhakti is to transform material energy into spiritual energy through an unselfish, grateful, humble attitude of seva, or devotional service. And Mukunda Sarakar was one of the greatest, most respected saints of the time. But he was a doctor who worked. And his younger son, Raghunandan, he took care of the deity. His name is Gopinath, Radha Gopinath. And how he took care of the deity. We know the story where Mukunda was the pujari, and when Raghunandan was just a small child, Mukunda had this call by the king to go to do some medical service, and he told Raghunandan, you will make the offering today, Rajpoga offering. How do I make the offering? You just ask the Lord to take it. He will take it, chant this mantra. So he did, and the deity glanced upon the food. And Raghunandan was on the altar, and he started crying. Gopinath said, why are you crying? He said, because you haven't eaten. He said, I have. I've eaten. I threw my glance. He said, I'm a child. What is this glance philosophy? Please eat. Am I so fallen that you won't accept my offering? So Gopinath came down off the altar and ate everything on the plate. And meanwhile, this was taking longer than usual. So Raghunandan's mother, Mukunda's wife, was waiting outside. And finally, after a long time, he comes out with an empty plate. Now, what would you mothers think about that? Mukunda comes home, where's prasad? I said, there is no prasad. Ask your son. He said, Gopinath ate it. You told me to feed him, and I fed him, and he ate it. So Mukunda gave him a laddu and said, offer this again. And he was watching from a secret place. And the same thing happened. Gopinath ate with his glance, left it as prasad, and Raghunandan cried and said, please eat, please eat. And Gopinath took a bite out of the laddu, and Mukunda couldn't believe it. He just called out, hey, and Gopinath, when you saw Mukunda was there, he put the rest of the laddu down. Uniform. And that hidden lot was still there 450 years later, if you go to the temple. So he was a very sincere pujari. He liked to offer kadamba flowers to the Lord. So the Lord arranged to fulfill his desire a kadamba tree, and every day of the year, several kadamba flowers would fully blossom on that tree so that he could offer it to Gopinath. So this is another way of serving the Lord, through offering puja. And to Narahari, he said, stay with my devotees. Srila Prabhupada said he was a preacher. So some people earn a living, some people live in the temple and do puja, and some people are preachers. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes, if it is done with sincerity and everybody is working together, respecting and honoring each other's devotion, then there's a powerful family of devotees. Narahari, and actually Sri Chaitanya was so pleased with them that one of the 7 kirtan parties in Ratha Yatra every year was composed with the devotees of Sri Kanda. Narahari and his nephew, Raghunandan, were the 2 lead dancers. Narahari was very, very dear friends with Gadadhar Pandit. would serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu together in Navadvipa.
In fact, Mukunda, he sent his younger brother while he was making a living after their father died. While he was making a living and maintaining the family, he sent Narahari to Navadvipa to study. And there he became the best friend of Gadadhar Pandit and a personal servant of Sri Chaitanya. Narahari Ai Kari Chamara Dulaya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, describing the beautiful Gaura Arti on the bank of the Ganga, gives us this picture of Narahari Sarakar fanning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his chamara fan. There's much to be said. He wrote many beautiful books, wonderful songs and poems and prayers. And by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction and inspiration, he installed historical, worshipable deities of Lord Gauranga. And in Srikanda, this was his own personal Ishtadeva, a murti of Lord Gauranga. And just after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, that deity in Srikanda became one of the most important places of worship in the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava community. Srinivasa Acharya, they were very loving Shiksha disciples of Narahari Sarakar. They would cry when they'd see him, and he would cry when he would see them. He would embrace them. They would render menial services to them. They would take guidance from him in every possible way whenever they would go. For Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and so many other Vaishnavas, it was a holy pilgrimage to go to have the association of Narahari Sarakar. Today is his disappearance day. And I'd like to end class by explaining a beautiful pastime that took place on his disappearance day. During the month of Kartik, Gadadhar Pandit departed from the world. And when Narahari Sarakar heard about that, he was already in such depths of Yudhavama Bhava, love and separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And when he heard his dearmost friend, Gadadhar Pandit, according to our Vaishnava Acharyas and our scriptures, Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani, and in Krishna Leela, Narahari Sarakar is one of Sri Radha's closest, most intimate gopi associates, Madhumati Devi. So he went into a secluded place, no longer was interested in eating or even living, just weeping in deep ecstatic love as this blazing fire of separation burned in his heart. He constantly chanted the holy names. And soon after, he departed from the world. When that news struck the Gaudiya Vaishnava community, it was devastating. How are we going to live without Narahari Sarakar as our guide, as our inspiration, as our protector? Even the greatest Paramahamsa saints were thinking this way. This was his position. Lochan Das Thakur, the author of Sri Chaitanya Mangala, was a disciple of Narahari Sarakar. And in Srikanda, under Narahari's order, Lochan Das Thakur wrote under a tree that's still there the Sri Chaitanya Mangala, one of the greatest biographies of Lord Chaitanya. Now he's gone. Raghunanda was
was his disciple. He was devastated. So Raghunandan decided to have this disappearance day festival for him. And he called the great Vaishnavas from different places. And they had just been to Katwa, where they had the disappearance ceremony festival for Gadadhar Das, one of the great associates of Lord Nityananda. And then, for the pleasure of Raghunandan, the disciple, worshipping the Guru Narahari, this assembly of saints, sadhus, came to Shrikanta. Raghunandan greeted all of them, arranged beautiful accommodations. It began in honor of Narahari Sarakar. The great Mahants asked Srinivasacharya to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, he was so junior to so many of them. One of the chief guests was the son of Lord Nityananda, Virachandra. Srinivasacharya, to follow their order, he came to each of them and bowed down and received their blessings and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. They were in ecstasy seeing their little. He was like a junior student to so many of them, but they took the greatest pleasure in hearing him speak. I don't speak very well, but so many of my seniors are here and I'm speaking their blessings. Bhakti Charan Swami Maharaj, Lokanath Swami Maharaj. Others I don't see. To see how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was blessing Srinivasacharya to represent the Parampara. It was their great joy and happiness. This is a Vaishnava's heart. Not to take joy in just what I'm doing, but to take joy that Krishna's will is being done to whoever it's being done, to myself, someone else. That is the way Vaishnava thinks. To see others being empowered by Krishna is the greatest joy of a devotee. And to always want to be the servant of the servant of the servant. After the Bhagavad Katha, there was a kirtan. And to start the kirtan, Raghunandan, in honor of worshipping Narahari, you honor and worship the Vaishnava. This is an important philosophical principle that Raghunandan is teaching us. The Guru Puja, the best way to worship the Guru is to honor, respect, and serve the Vaishnavas. For the pleasure of Narahari Sarakar, Raghunandan had beautiful garlands made and wonderful chandan sandalwood, and he was offering it to each. But it wasn't just he was giving it. It was with such gratitude, such humility, and such love. So many times, saintly people get garlands. But when Raghunandan offered that garland, they were crying because it was offered with such gratitude. Prabhupada said, it's not the thing. Bhakti is not just about the thing that we offer. It's about the intent in which we offer it. Confirmed. And then, Raghunandan, after pleasing all the devotees, but he was just so happy that they were there. And he was so grateful that they were there. And he was so humbly seeking their blessings that he melted everyone's hearts.
And they were, he would offer them garlands and Veera Chandra or Veerabhadra. He arranged for Srinivasacharya to offer Raghunandan a garland. And Raghunandan became so embarrassed and shy that such a soul was offering him a garland. You know, these exchanges are very deep and meaningful if we have the right consciousness. Offering someone a garland could just be a formality, or it could be an expression of the highest bhakti as the servant of the servant. Mad bhakta puja kalika, the highest worship of me is worship my devotee. Narahari and Raghunandan then put little garlands that were specially made and special chandan on each set of kartals and each murdanga and perform puja. Because these are the eternal intimate associates of the Lord in the form of the holy name. Namachintamani Krishna, Chaitanyavas Vigraha, the name of Krishna is not different than Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
The very presence of Sri Radharani and Krishna in the form of their names. So just as we worship the deity who is Krishna and Sri Radha, he worshipped the deity who is Krishna and Radha by worshipping the paraphernalia of the name in the form of the kartals and the mridanga. Tadit. Epi Vaishnava is the paraphernalia of Krishna. Our voices are the paraphernalia of Krishna. They're worshipful if we see it in this light. And the devotees were so pleased by seeing Raghunandan's wound, then they began the kirtan. And it was such a sweet kirtan. In the midst of the kirtan, Nityananda Prabhu's son, Veera Chandra, began to dance. Would you like to see that dance? He was dancing so beautiful. Every movement of every limb was an expression of the profound ecstasy of his prema. There was a blind man who was there, off to the side, and he was feeling the grace of Nityananda Prabhu's son like tsunami waves. And he couldn't see, but he could feel it, and he could hear the excitement and the ecstasy of everyone. And he was thinking in his heart, and he was blind from birth. He was thinking in his heart and praying, if only once, I don't want to see anything in this world, but if I can only one time see the beautiful dance of Veera Chandra, how grateful I will be. And the Lord, who is seated within our heart, he hears our every prayer. He hears everything, especially our prayer. And Veera Chandra glanced at this old man, and suddenly he could see. And the only thing he saw was the beautiful dance of Veera Chandra. He was dancing, and this old man watching in ecstasy, weeping, hair standing on end, limbs trembling. He didn't want to see anything else in this entire cosmic manifestation. He has seen everything in the dance of the Lord. And when all the people saw the power of Veera Chandra giving sight to a blind man, they became ecstatic. And the kirtan went to a whole other level. Why? Because not only are they happy because they're seeing the Lord dancing, but their happiness doubled and tripled to see somebody else getting the mercy of the Lord. This kirtan became such a a exchange of ecstatic love, that people were feeling the Lord's presence so deeply in his name that their separation from Lord Chaitanya's associates were growing deeper and deeper and deeper, and they suddenly, everybody in that kirtan was crying out, you know, where is Gadadhar, where is Nityananda, where is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where is Thakur Haridas, where is Swarup Damodar Goswami, where is Ramananda Rai, where is Murari Gupta, all the devotees who had left the planet, where is Narahari? And they were crying in such sincere separation that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not resist pacifying their hearts. And right in front of everyone's eyes, years after Lord Gauranga had departed from this world, he appeared. Can you imagine? We cannot imagine, but we can try to imagine the levels that the kirtan went to at that point. Mahaprabhu had come. Some Vipralamba and now some Bhog. Separation, meeting, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified everyone's eyes. Absolutely eternally. Continued chanting throughout the day. And then it was the time when the kirtan finally ended. Raghunandan asked Birachandra and the other senior Vaishnavas, what should we do next? They said, we should all take prasad together. So a wonderful prasad was as they were all sitting together, Raghunandan was feeling such separation from his Gurudev that he went to the place where Narahari Sankar used to sit and perform his bhajan. And he wanted to make an offering. So from the deity of Lord Chaitanya, who they were all chanting and dancing for the pleasure of, he brought garlands, and he brought prasad, and he brought some other things. Meanwhile, the other devotees were all taking prasad, and he just went there, and he offered garland, and offered some chandan, and offered some water and other prasad, and sat there in meditation. The very place that his departed guru would sit for so many years. And after making the offering, he left that small room and closed the door. Because that's the way pujaris make offerings. They make the offering, they come out and let the Lord, or in this case the Guru, honor the prasad. And after some time, he opened the door to come back into his Gurudev's room. And there he saw Narahari Sankar personally present before him, sitting on a little seat, the little wooden seat that he would always sit on, in an eternal, beautiful, celestial body. Narahari Sarvatma, Raghunandan, seeing his guru before him, in his spiritual body, smiling upon him, he was intoxicated in ecstasy. And what did he do? He carried on with his service. He offered, you know, the final offerings to his guru by taking the plates off and everything else. And then his guru disappeared. And in ecstasy of love, he took that wooden seat of Narahari Sankar and put it on top of his head, and he wept and cried in ecstatic. Well, what pleases the Guru? We shouldn't let our ecstasies interfere with our service. He ran back and continued serving all the great saints their prasad and making sure they were satisfied. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, Natanandat Janam Sundari Kalihan Bhav Jagadisha Kamiye Mama Janmani Janavishwari Bhavatar Bhaktiro Vaitiki. Our ultimate aspiration is to please our beloved Lord, to please our Guru, to please the Vaishnavas. We are not concerned with liberation. We are not even so concerned with our own ecstasy. We're concerned with giving ecstasy through our loving service to Sri Guru and Krishna. This was Raghunandan's example. Unprecedented, incredible miracle came before him. His Guru appeared. And he celebrated by running back and serving all the devotees. That took place on this very day of Naradi Sarakara's disappearance. Srila Prabhupada, he left this world, and how they should try to emulate how Raghunandan Thakur served his Guru in separation by carrying out the mission of Guru, and also carrying out the mission, the will of the Guru. Srila Prabhupada, he embraced that principle to such historical dimensions. When Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur departed from this world, Srila Prabhupada took his words and his will as his life and soul. Take this message of Lord Chaitanya to the Western world and spread it in the English language. Srila Prabhupada told us that there was never a moment when he did not feel the presence of his Guru by serving in separation. And what an incredible example. Raghunandan left his Guru's little place to serve the Vaishnavas when he was in the highest ecstasy of receiving his Guru's mercy. Prabhupada left Radhadamodartham, where Pushpa Samadhi of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is present. And on that boat of Javadutta, sailed for 38 days with all sorts of illnesses. To Butler, Pennsylvania, the Bowery, the Lower East Side of New York, around the world 12 times. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. The selfless Avaitikiya Pradhyana. Savai Pungshan Guru Dharamo Yato Bhakti Rokshate Avaitiki Apati 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 Apati. The supreme dharma is to serve the Lord with love. And that loving service should be without selfish intentions, without ego, and without being interrupted by anything that may happen around us or within us. That was Srila Prabhupada's movement, serving his Guru in separation. And he understood that the greatest pleasure he could give to his Guru was not just offering a puja of some incense and lamps, but to awakening bhakti in the hearts of the conditioned souls of this world. Or as Srila Prabhupada tells us, the Lord is always seeking the opportunity to reclaim the fallen souls to his abode.
always feel very much obliged to the personality of Godhead, for he is always anxious to bring us into the happy condition of eternal life. There is no sufficient means to repay the personality of Godhead for his act of benediction. Therefore, we can simply feel great gratitude and pray to the Lord with folded hands. When we ask Sri Prabhupada, how can we repay you for what you have given us? Sri Prabhupada has told us we can repay him by accepting what he has given us and by taking that same thing that he has given us and give it to others. So, my gratitude to all of you. Please distribute so many of Srila Prabhupada's illustrious books to so many people. And at the same time, this beautiful message that we're reading about within his books, to embrace it deep within our hearts, and to share that wonderful grace with each other and with the world. Gopal Krishna Maharaj has dedicated his life for this. Bhicharu Maharaj, Gopinath Maharaj, they happen to be here. My gurus in so many ways. And we pray that we can appreciate such acts of devotion as our very life is. Thank you very much. Thank you.